Well, it's good to see everyone this morning. I know it's kind of breezy. I'm glad it's not sunny and 95 out here. It's kind of humid, but I'm glad you all came this morning. One announcement is next Wednesday night, we'll start our group meetings inside. So on Wednesday night, we're going to move back inside the church. We will follow the rules, though. We're going to wear a mask inside, or we're going to stay socially distanced every other pew, but there's plenty of room for us to be inside. So we're going to do that. And next Sunday, we're going to continue to do the parking lot church as long as we can, because we can't have more than 50 inside the church. So our thoughts are, is the older how should I say that? I want to be as respectful as I can. The older generation, the ones who can't tolerate the heat so much. How's that?
Sorry.
That's okay. What we're going to do is we're gonna record. We do Zoom out here, so we've got it up on video here. And if you want to sit inside the church in the AC, we'll social distance in there, so we can have up to 30, 40 people in there, and we'll put it up on the screens, so we can watch the service that way. And we'll still continue to do it out here so that we can get everybody. But we'll have to do that for a little while, but then I know that eventually we're going to get back into church. But we still want to be safe and follow the rules. But again, I'm so glad you guys are here this morning. And I've got a survey. If you've got your bulletins this morning, there's a little survey here. And if you can, quickly go through that today while you're here and turn it into Verna or drop it in the box up there if you don't get it done today. So it's just kind of an idea of what you guys are thinking, what everybody's thinking. And we're going to move forward as much as we can with those thoughts. But just remember our Bible studies on Wednesdays. Like I said, we're going to move back in this coming Wednesday. We're going to have our Bible study in the church. So happy birthday, Jason Elkins, on the 30th. Don't forget that. Yeah. And Larry and Verna Fuller will be celebrating their marital bliss on the 29th.
Woo!
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Larry's got to paint the deck. That's his gift. His anniversary gift. So, and then, of course, on the 2nd, it's Brenda Keeley's birthday. And then also Mark and Diane Shelton have their anniversary on the 29th as well. They share that. Jada's birthday I missed last week, and I'm so sorry, Jada. I am so sorry. I feel bad. Yeah. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jada. And Jason. Birthday to you. All right. Let's see. Also, if the board members would meet with me, as many as can that are here, we can also fire it up on Zoom too if you're not able to be here right after church, just for a quick meeting. And we're going to discuss a couple things about reopening. Betty Odom has moved to River to River, and her address is in there. So be sure to kind of give her a letter. If you just drop her a card and say that you're thinking about her, that would mean a lot to her. All right, we got a long prayer request list here. I see Ed's here today. Good to see you, Ed. I want to thank all of you who participated in the grocery give, and I mean that to those who gave monetarily and to those who served. We really had a great, great day on Friday. Friday evening was just, it was amazing.
Amen.
And Mark and Lottie and Jason and Jesse and Herman, I'm sorry. Thank you guys for what you did. Marva, even though I forgot to call her, she showed up and she helped, and I appreciate that. And two people I really am very, very proud of is Harley and Lily. And I know Lily just drove up, but I want to say that those two girls, beautiful young ladies, could have been out on a Friday night doing whatever, but they chose to be here on a Friday night and go deliver groceries in the van. And can't wait to do it again. And that, and I just want to say I really am proud of them for that. And I thank everyone for their part in it. I know that Verna and Carla took her new car and just packed it full of groceries. I mean, all she could get in it. And William, you know, thank you, William, you know, for what you do. And I tell you, it's just really, it just really is an amazing day to be able to do that. And but I want to thank all of you for doing it. It's a big deal. We are here to serve. And I was thinking this last week, I said, I wish I had a t-shirt that said "Saved to Serve." And because that's what we are. We're saved to serve. And that's what Jesus came to do. You know, he came here to serve people. And that's what we're called to do. And God saved me to serve people. And that's where I want to put my heart. That's where my heart is. That's where I want to put my life, is in serving people. And but no, I'm glad you're here this morning. We're going to move on forward. I know it's going to get hot. And
alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope with no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in, when death was arrested and my life began. Ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. My orphan heart was given a name. My mourning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested and my life began. So free, washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new, now life begins with you. From my chains, I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was a ransom he faithfully bore. He canceled my debt and he called me his friend. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace, so free, washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new, now life begins with you. Savior displayed on a criminal's cross. Darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost. Then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested and my life began. We're free, free, forever we're free. Come join the song of all the redeemed. Yes, we're free, free forever, amen. When death was arrested and my life began.
Amen. Are you free this morning? Wake up. How great
is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God. And all will see how great, how great is our God.
The
splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light. Darkness tries to hide and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice.
How great
is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Age to age he stands, time is in his hands, beginning and the end. Beginning and the end. Godhead three in one. Father, Spirit, Son. The Lion and the Lamb. The Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
Name above
all names, worthy of all praise. Our God.
Name above
is our
grace.
Worthy of
is
our
praise.
No, we'll see our
heart will see
how great is our God. Is our God, and I will see how great is our God. sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. Set free, my God, my Savior has ransomed me, and thy God, blood, his mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. Lord has promised good to me, his word my hope, Savior's. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. My chains are chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy reigns, unending love. Amen. Amazing grace. Shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine, will be forever.
Father, I pray again, Lord, that you be here with us today, Lord, just to guide my words today, Lord. Open up our hearts and just clear our minds of all that stuff going on around us in life, Lord. Just let us set all of that aside today. so that we can focus on you, Lord. Lord, we just praise you. Let your Holy Spirit be in control today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. A little breezy today, but I'm glad for that breeze today. It's pretty warm out here, isn't it? And I'm just so glad God has just given us some wonderful days to be able to be outside and praise and worship Him. And He's given us another day when they were calling for rain and heavy rains and thunderstorms. And here we've got a moment in our day to praise and worship Him and serve Him today. This week, I know that the 4th of July is coming up. And we're going to be celebrating the 4th, and we always look forward to that time of year, don't we? And, you know, so my message is geared towards the 4th of July, and I just felt like it was what the Lord wanted me to do this morning. So, my scripture reading this morning is from 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy, chapter 2. And starting in verse 1, it says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, and intercessions and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in godliness and in holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and not to come to a knowledge of and want to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, and the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to all the at the proper time. Sorry. And for this purpose I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying, and a true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles. Therefore, I want the men everywhere, men and women everywhere, to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or disputing. Dear Lord, guide my words today. Amen. I wanted to read that because there are three things out of that we can learn from today, and I want to share that with you. And you know, I hope that your 4th of July is going to be different this year, right? A lot of places are not even having fireworks this year, and so it's going to be different. And but I think the 4th of July is going to be awesome. This is the time of the year that, you know, it's really always been a special time for many of us. Some great memories growing up that happened on or around the 4th of July. You know, it was always a tradition each year for, you know, for many of us to meet with family and go and have a big dinner together or, you know, But it's always been that time of year for me. What I anticipated is a time that we could get firecrackers and black cats and bottle rockets and those type of things, and we could shoot them off. And I always remember that as a kid. That was so much fun. And sometimes we had a little too much fun. We had a lot of close calls. But I did get to keep all my fingers. You know, all that cool stuff that you got to do, and that was just a special time. A lot of memories doing that. And I know that even Wendy and Terry, you know, have us down to their place on the 4th like we did last year and many years prior to that. And we set off fireworks and we have a big fish fry, and that's a special time. And as a kid, I never thought much about the 4th of July. I just looked forward to it because I loved lighting the fireworks, but I never put much thought into why we celebrate it. But now as an adult, I have a new appreciation for this time of year. It is my chance to say thank you to all the men and women throughout our history who have sacrificed their lives in order to bring us the freedom that we have today. It's not just a chance to light fireworks, but it's also our chance to praise God for allowing us to live in such a great country. You know, I love my country, and if I was called upon again, I would go and serve, and I would even sacrifice my life for my country. Because I love my country, it makes it that much harder to watch firsthand the choices that our culture has made in the last 50 years, all in the name of freedom. And I say that, I see that more and more today. We have increasingly grown in greed and immorality, and we continue to turn our backs on God and the gospel. We are increasingly looking to man-made ideas that will help bail us out of economic, social problems. We continue to justify sin and call it no big deal. We do this all in the name of freedom and equal rights. But we have to be honest with ourselves, and nobody is truly free. There are laws that must be followed, and we know that, because we know that if there were no laws, it would be total chaos. You know, when we were born, we were all born spiritually not free. We were born spiritually dead. We were slaves to sin. We were born sinners. You and I and everyone else in this world only have one choice to make, and that choice is to live a life of sin. We were born into that. We didn't have a choice. We were just born that way. We are born in sin, and we live our life in sin. But, I want to say this, but, listen to this. But what is so amazing, and something that I have to celebrate too, is that freedom that I have, that real freedom in life that removes us from the penalty of sin and death, and that is through Jesus Christ. Christ died to set us free, and Christ sets us free from the world's corrupt sense of freedom. Christ set us free from our guilt and from our past, from our mistakes. And the world will never let you forget that. The world refuses to let go and forgive. But when we call on Christ in His name and repent, then and then alone we experience the freedom, the true freedom, the real freedom that no constitution or bill of rights can give us. You know, I wake up every day thankful for this country that I live in. And I see how war and poverty and corrupt government and famine, pandemics, have ravaged this kind of third world countries. And I remember when I was in Honduras, I was in Central America for about a month in this little country of Honduras. And it really was a huge impact in my life at that time when I got to see these people and how they lived and what they didn't have and what I had. I was proud to be an American soldier at that time. I watched these other Honduran soldiers, and at the age of 12 and 13 years old, they were made to go into the military. They didn't have a choice. They had to serve unless they had some kind of medical reason that they couldn't. There were 17-year-olds staff sergeants and 21-year-old master sergeants. I couldn't believe that. There was master sergeants older than I was, younger than I was, I mean. And here I was, just a corporal. A spec four at that time. But I'm most thankful for my freedom that I have in Christ. And I'm thankful that as a Christian who has been set free from the blinders of sin and selfishness, that I can step back and see the big picture. And I now can see the sin and corruption around me. And because of that, I now have the freedom because of Christ and the Holy Spirit working in me to do something about it. Hey, man, come on. You and I, the saints, who are no longer slaves to sin, but are now free from the sin and slaves, and now we're slaves to Jesus, have an amazing opportunity to give back, not just to our country, but more importantly, give back to our God by devoting our lives to His service and telling others about the freedom that is found in Jesus Christ. That's our job, folks. You might say, what can I possibly do this morning? You might say that. What can I do to help change the world that is so corrupt and has fallen so far away? I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. This country's fallen so far from where it was 200 years ago. But here in Timothy, Paul gives us three things that we can do as believers to restore our nation to a country that looks to Christ rather than to sin. The first thing I find in this scripture was to pray unceasingly, verse 1 and 2. A teacher went into her classroom, and about 15 minutes before the class was supposed to begin, and caught a bunch of boys in a huddle on their knees in the corner of the room. She asked them, she says, "What are you guys doing?" And one of them shouted back, "Well, we're playing poker." And she replied, "Well, that's all right. I was afraid you were praying." That sounds like a crazy story, but it's true today. Our kids really aren't allowed to pray in school. It's looked down upon, and it's not right. A friend of mine who I grew up with in the little town of Alto Pass is now a pastor of a fairly large church in Wichita, Kansas. He made a statement this week that really hit me. He said, "I'm really not out to be the largest megachurch in Wichita, Kansas." He said, "I would much rather have the largest prayer meeting, the largest prayer group on a Friday night. People that are willing to sacrifice their Friday night to come and kneel down and raise up their voices to our Heavenly Father for the country, for the people, for the lost souls of our community." Wow, that really hit me hard, because I feel the same way he does. I feel the same way. This is a sad part of America. People are often seen huddled together to do something, to attend something, to watch something, but seldom do we see people huddled together to attend church and to pray. You know, before this pandemic, I loved to on Sunday mornings before church started, when the kids would come forward and gather around the altar. Man, that was an incredible moment for me. It's an incredible moment to watch these young people desire to gather around and pray. We can learn something from that. Just because this pandemic's going on doesn't mean that we can't pray. Doesn't mean that we can't call out on the name of the Lord. It doesn't mean that we can't be dedicated and sacrificial to our church and to our Lord and Savior. The last few years of the National Day of Prayer, they had a very low attendance. It's sad. A guy by the name of Samuel Chadwick said, "The one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, and prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil and mocks at our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray." Prayer is important, folks. E.M. Bounds, he said this, "What the church needs today is not a machinery or a better service, not new organizations or more of novel methods, but men and women whom the Holy Spirit can use. Men and women mighty in prayer. The Holy Spirit does not flow through methods or programs, but through men and women of prayer." The first thing we as believers can do to thank God for His blessings and freedom is to get on our knees and pray. Pray for this country and pray for this church. Pray for our brothers and sisters, our sons and our daughters that are giving their lives for us every day on the battlefield. Pray for the lost and pray for the government leaders and our president. It's not wrong to pray for your president, even though you don't agree with him. God put him there. Amen? Pray for him. Wives, if you want to see your husbands come to love the Lord, you should be on your knees in prayer for him. Husbands, if you want to see your wives be strong women of faith, you should humble yourself and pray. We should be praying at home and at church, and we should be praying while we are watching TV before we go to bed and while we are doing whatever, the laundry, driving down the road. We want to see God move. If we want to see God move in this country, then our life must be filled with prayer. Amen? Ephesians 6, 17 and 18 says, put on salvation as your heart, as your helmet, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. That's for everyone. Thessalonians 5, 16 and 18 says, always be joyful, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you and who belongs to Jesus Christ. You know, you remember the movie Finding Nemo? Anybody remember that movie? You ever watch it? What was the thing that Dory said? Just keep swimming, right? That's what I'll tell you today. Just keep praying. Just keep praying. Just keep praying. We don't think about it, but prayer is the most powerful gift God has given us. It is a direct link between you and God. And God amazes me when I pray because He's God. He does amazing things. He's an amazing person. He's big and He's powerful and He has a world to run. But I know that He loves me so much that when I pray, He takes time to listen. And our people need Jesus. America needs Jesus, and if we want to see God and His freedom come back to this country, then we first have to be on our knees in prayer. And if we as a church attending, Christ-believing Christians won't do it, who will? Who's going to do it? James 5:16, the prayer of the righteous man is powerful and effective. God will do mighty things through those who will first and foremost humble themselves and get on their knees before they ever stop behind a microphone. I do that. I first start my day off with prayer. Every Sunday morning, I get up and I first of all pray. Before I start my messages, before I start even writing the first word of my message, I pray. It's important. The second thing is, I'll try to get through this because I know it's getting hot, guys, is to live righteously. Verse 2, it says that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. What's that look like? God's desire for us is to be godly people. We believe in that. We're a holiness church. We need to be holy people, a people who live righteously, whether in public or in private. We have the opportunity, we do, the responsibility, and really the privilege of living right and setting the example for the world around us. That's our job. And that's a sacrifice, guys. It is. It's not easy. It's a sacrifice that we make to lead that example so that we may be the ones that lead people to Christ even by our actions. It doesn't even have to be by our words, but just by the actions. In our example. That's God's desire. 1 Peter 2, verse 12 says, when you are around people who do not know God, be careful how you act. Even if they talk against you as wrongdoers, in the end, they will give thanks to God for your good works when Christ comes again. What does it mean to be holy or to be godly? The simplest way that I can define it is to live a life that is set apart, to be different. Now, I'm different, all right. I've been called a lot of things. I'm definitely different. I'm not a rebel. I'm not a criminal. But I am a rebel in a way. The rebel is the one who works hard, loves people always, does the right thing, and keeps their mouths shut sometimes. And I know that's hard to do for many of us. A lot of times that means doing things that people don't agree with. Living for God is not always popular, but it is always rewarding. To live holy means to look at every aspect of your life. Come on now. What you watch, what you say, how you dress, how you think, how you act, in every place you go. It's not about legalism or rules. That doesn't work. It didn't work for the Jews. That's why Christ came. It's about always asking, the decision I'm about to make going to bring the most glory to God or to me? That's the difference right there. Is this going to bring God, glory to God? Or is it just selfishness on my part? I'm making this choice based on what I want or what God wants. I'm doing this so I can be glorified and praised, or so that God is being glorified and praised. The righteous do all things for God's glory and never for their own. And they do them with joy and a spirit of humility, never pride. We have to recognize that it is only by God's grace that we are saved and not by our works, so that any of us could ever boast. The righteous does not justify sin, so what we can keep participating in, we can't anymore. They see sin, or we see sin, and run from it. Before we found freedom in Christ, that's what we did, didn't we? We had no power to run from sin. All we knew was sin. But now, we are children of God. The righteousness of Christ is in us, and the power of the Holy Spirit has consumed us. And now we can make the choice to run from sin. We can. We now have the power over sin and death. You know, when we're running from sin, we'll make choices that will alienate us from Christ. But when we choose Christ and we run to Him, we will be rewarded for our faithfulness and obedience in eternity. The third thing I want to leave you with here this morning is, you know, we talked about praying unceasingly and living righteously. The third thing is evangelize fervently. We have to be evangelists, each and every one of us. Not just the evangelist, not just the pastor, not just the board members, but each and every one of us. If you're a Christ believer and you're born again, you're an evangelist. Come on now. This is good. Verse 3, this is good and pleases our Savior, for He wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. God's desire for all men is to be saved, not just a select few. Our job is, as believers, is to present some sort of message through our words and actions so that non-believers, young and old, have an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. There was a story I read one time about a guy by the name of Leighton Ford. He was one of Billy Graham's associates. And he said one time, I was speaking at an open-air crusade in Nova Scotia, and Billy Graham was to speak the next night, and he had arrived a day early. He came incognito and sat on the grass at the rear of the crowd because he was wearing a hat and dark sunglasses, and no one recognized him. Directly in front of him sat an elderly gentleman who seemed to be listening intently to my presentation. And when I invited people to come forward as an open sign of commitment, Billy decided to do a little personal evangelism. He tapped the man on the shoulder and asked, "Would you like to accept Christ? I'll be glad to walk down with you if you want to." And the old man looked up at him and down and thought it over for a moment, and then he said, "Nah, I think I'll just wait till the big gun comes tomorrow night." Billy and I have had several chuckles over that incident, and unfortunately, it underlines how in the minds of many people, evangelism is a task of the big gun, not the little gun. You know, I've heard this many times before, and I know you guys have heard it. There are big shots and there are little shots, but that's not us. We're all just buckshot, right? There's no big shot, no little shot. We're all just buckshot. All of us have different jobs. Some of us are preachers. Some of us are teachers. Some of us, you know, we God's gifted us in different ways. And I got to be honest with you, I'm not good at everything. I'm just telling you. I'm not good at everything. There's some things I'm lacking in. I'm not always the best teacher, but I try to be the best example that I can. I try to do the best that I can. Leading people to Christ is a task of all Christians. We have the opportunity to give people the freedom they truly need. People that have tried to find freedom in their choices, power, position, and even religion, drugs, and alcohol, but they still feel empty and discontent. And until they are shown what it means to have true freedom in Christ, then they will always be looking. That's why they're lost. If they're lost, how could they ever find their way if we don't show them? God doesn't expect us to do everything, but He does expect us to do something. Listen to me. Do something. Not all of us are called to preach or to teach or to be leaders in the church, but we are all called to tell the world about Jesus and to share the gospel, to share our testimony. Every one of you that are saved this morning has a testimony. You had a moment with God. You had a moment with Him when you realized that He just forgave you of all your sins. Share that. Never be afraid to share that moment with others. To our loved ones, to our neighbors. You know, I say this, no one's excused from proclaiming the truth of the gospel to others, and no one gets a pass over that. If you've been saved by grace through faith and from death and sin and hell, why in the world would you want to keep that to yourself and not share it with somebody? Come on. 1 Peter 3:15, in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Come on. Romans 10:14. But how can they call on Him to save them unless they believe in Him? And how can they believe in Him if they've never heard about Him? And how can they hear about Him unless someone tells them? Come on. That's why God saved us. I asked Vernon this morning, I want her to make me a t-shirt that says, "Saved to Serve." I want to serve people. That's why God saved me. The scripture goes on to say in verse 16, but not everyone, this is in Romans chapter 10, but not everyone welcomes the good news. The truth will be rejected, and you will be rejected, but we must not fear rejection. Our love for God should be greater than our fear of man. We must be boldly. We must be proud and with joy speak out how great is our God. Just like we sang that song, how great is our God. He is great. He is mighty. He does wonderful and amazing things in this world, and He does them in your life every day. And sometimes we just need to open up our eyes and see it. Jesus has saved us from sin and death and has given us eternal life. Man, He's given you eternal life. When we help others because Christ helped us, we do things for others in love because Christ loved us, we become the light in a dark and hopeless world that has chosen sin and is lost in sin because Christ was the light for us and He rescued us when we were lost. You and I are now free in Christ. We must share that opportunity of freedom with everyone that will listen to us. You know, we're sitting here in an incredible position right now. And I know it's hot out here and the wind's blowing. I'm glad. But during this pandemic, really, we're not able to do things like we always have. But let me tell you, God's still working right now. God's still doing amazing things right now. God is still working in these communities, and He wants to use you. We can make a real impact on people's eternity in our country. Our country's lost. Its morals have been degraded, disintegrated, really. It's sad. It's a world full of what feels good. It's dominating our minds and our decision, and there is no absolutes anymore. When it comes to spiritual and ethics, they want to just throw ethics out the window. People are building their spiritual houses on shaky and sandy foundations. They have chosen sin and have no hope. You know, Anna, we're not immune from it. If you just look around, you can see it everywhere you go. There's people that are lost and hurting. They're not free. They're slaves to sin and slaves to the corruption of this world. And I implore you, as brothers and sisters in Christ, to not quit, to keep praying, to not give up. And don't feel sorry for yourselves and think you can't make a difference. The truth is, you can make a difference. You know, with God, anything's possible. I mean, He can take anybody and use anybody. Look at me. I mean, He's using me. I'm nobody. I'm not anybody special. I don't have a doctor's degree in theology. I mean, come on. All He's saying is, just go do it. Don't worry about it. I'll tell you what to say. I'll give you the knowledge. All knowledge comes from God. Come on. The strength comes from the Holy Spirit. 3,000 people got saved because of uneducated fisherman decided to get out of his boat and follow Jesus, got filled with the Holy Spirit and went out and preached, and 3,000 people got saved. Come on. You know, we have the hope that so many people need, and we need to be a people that will heed like Paul's words and pray unceasingly, live righteously, and evangelize fervently. Do you know somebody right now? I know you do. If you know somebody right now, you know that they need Jesus. And I'm going to ask you right now this morning, the girls are going to come sing a song. And as they're preparing, I want you to think of that person. If you want to come forward, you can come right up here. morning, if you know somebody that's lost, you know somebody that needs Jesus, and I'm going to ask you this morning to just come forward this morning and represent them. Stand in the gap for them. Or right where you're at. Just right where you're at. I want you to just close your eyes and think of that person. Pray that God would do a work in them to reveal their sin to them, that they would repent and come to know the freedom that we know. That maybe somebody, the next time somebody came to them and spoke to them, that they would hear and they would listen. Just pray that the Holy Spirit goes out to them and falls upon them. People are desperate for the freedom that we have. Lord, I just pray. Lord, as we come to you this morning, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit, each and every one that's right here, that's on Zoom, that's listening this morning, has somebody that they know, somebody, maybe more than one in their life, Lord, that needs you. Lord, that doesn't know you, that doesn't understand the freedom that we have. Lord, and right now, we just stand in the gap for them, Lord. Lord, we just call upon you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, open up their eyes. Open up their hearts that they may see where real freedom is, where the hope lies that we have. Lord, I pray for each and every one that's here this morning, each and every one that's listening to this message this morning, Lord. Give us strength. Let your Holy Spirit be overflowing in us. Guide and direct us in everything that we do. Lord, let us be good witnesses, good examples. As we surrender ourselves to you, as you sacrificed yourself to us, Lord, let us repay you with our sacrifice to you in holiness and in righteousness and in prayer. And let us be good evangelists, Lord, in everywhere that we go. Every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. You're my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. One defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.